Please be seated.
Is my microphone working? There it is. It kicked on. Please, please stay on your feet. We're going to read our gospel text for today from John 16. Sermon text is from verses 22 through 30, and we read it in Jesus' holy name. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. We pray that you would sanctify us by that truth. So we now look again at John chapter 16. I pray that you would show us our sin. Show us all the ways that we have fallen short of your glory, Lord, and lead us to confession. But also point us to Christ, who lived, suffered, died, and rose again, that we might have life and life eternal. By your word, strengthen us, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, all of our readings for today have got a pretty consistent theme. And that theme is prayer. In Numbers chapter 21, the people asked Moses to pray to God that they could be relieved from those fiery serpents. And Moses prayed, and God delivered them. Not necessarily the way that they wanted to be delivered, but God did provide and deliver. Then we read from 1 Timothy chapter 2, and there in that passage, we are encouraged to pray in a myriad of ways. And then our gospel text from John 16, Jesus teaches how praying to the Father works. But I wonder how often we actually consider prayer and what it is. I think most of the time we just take prayer for granted and don't actually consider what prayer is and how it works. Because if we did take the time to think about prayer, we would realize that prayer doesn't really make very much earthly sense. Just think about it for a second. We're all sinners, right? You are a sinner, I am a sinner. And Scripture doesn't teach us that we just make a couple mistakes here and there. Scripture doesn't say, oh, you've been a bit naughty today, or maybe you've made some red choices. Now, if you had kids that went to Bright Beginnings Preschool, you'd immediately know what that is. It's the easiest way to communicate to a preschooler that they're making a mistake. Green choices versus red choices. That's not what Scripture has to say. Instead, in the book of Jeremiah, the Bible tells us that our hearts are deceitful things, deceitful above all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And Jesus says in Matthew 15, "Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles the person. And do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes the stomach and is expelled? What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles the person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts and murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." You see, it's not that we've done a couple of bad things, but instead that we have a sinful and deceitful and wicked heart. And from that heart comes every sin that we commit. We aren't declared sinners because we sin sometimes. Instead, we sin and do wicked and evil things because after the fall, we are sinners by nature. Our issue is far more than skin deep. So much so that even the good things we attempt to do are tainted and soiled by our unclean, sinful nature. So what does this mean for our prayers? If we really are who Scripture says we are after the fall, that means that even the purest and holiest and most selfless and even the most eloquently crafted prayer that we can come up with is still a prayer from the mouth of a sinner. And that makes it a horrible abomination. It makes it an offensive screeching noise in the ears of God. We have to recall that God is not just holy, but as Scripture confesses and the angels sang, He is holy, holy, holy. He is incomprehensibly better, incomprehensibly above all of His fallen creation. So how dare we even think of speaking our sinful and nasty prayers to the Lord? How arrogant can we be if we think our prayers deserve to be heard by the Most High God? How could we possibly think that our twisted requests should be allowed to afflict His ears? Now, there are plenty of people in the world that don't pray and frankly won't even darken the door of a church because they've actually thought about this. Plenty of people that think to themselves, you know what, maybe if I do a little work on my life, maybe if I can quit doing these sinful things, maybe if I can do a few more good works, then I'll be okay to come into church. Maybe then I'll be okay to pray to God, but I can't do it right now because I know I'm a sinner and I know I don't deserve to be there and I know I shouldn't be. Plenty of people think that they have to have hearts that are so pure and beautiful and filled with light and love. They think that they have to be that way before they can even consider approaching God. But according to Holy Scripture, they couldn't be more mistaken. Now, if our salvation and our relationship with God was based on our actions, then the thoughts of these people would be correct. But that way of thinking is actually completely contrary to what Scripture teaches. See, we don't approach God because of any merit of our own. We don't approach God thinking that we're worthy enough. In fact, if you're approaching God thinking you're good enough and thinking you're worthy, that's proof that you're not. Instead, as Christians, we draw near to the Most High. We draw near and approach God. And as we do, we come confessing that we are not worthy, that we do not deserve to be here. We come confessing, God, we have nothing to offer you, and the only thing we bring is our sin. But nevertheless, we as Christians, we do come to God. And we come because He has invited us to come, and even more, He has commanded us to come. And even more than that, He has given us a new nature that desires to be in His presence. Now, as we come confessing our sins and unworthiness before God, He pardons us for the sake of Christ because of the atoning blood of Jesus. As it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, Jesus has torn the veil that separated us from the Father by giving up His life. By grace and through faith, we have now been adopted as God's beloved children, and He has asked us to call upon Him in prayer. Even in our sermon text today, Jesus said, "Ask and you will receive." And so, we can approach the Almighty God as a loving Father who cares for us and desires to help. When we do pray, Jesus has told us to pray in His name. But what does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? Well, I can tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that the name of Jesus is some magical incantation that's going to unlock blessings from the Father. It doesn't mean that if we just pray and end our prayers with, "In Jesus' name, amen," now we can force the hand of God to act so that He will give us whatever it is we want. Instead, to pray in the name of Christ is to pray based upon His merits and not our own. It is to approach God not because you are worthy, but because Christ is worthy. He has earned the right for us to come before God, and He is the one that invites us to do so. Think for just a minute about how strange this whole arrangement is. Another thing about prayer that rarely crosses our minds because we're so used to it. But from time to time, we should take the time to appreciate this point that God should not be listening to us at all. You see, we're not worthy, we're not good enough. In no way should he listen to us and what we have to say, because when we pray, we're approaching God based on the virtue of someone else. And this is an incredibly strange arrangement from an earthly perspective. This is not the ordinary earthly way of doing things. If you want a favor from someone, you approach and you ask on your own merits. Hey, friend, you know I'm a good guy. Remember when I lent you that $20 bill or helped you move things? Well, I need something now. Will you help me? But that's not the arrangement we have in prayer. In prayer, we are going based on the merits of someone else. It's as if we said, hey, you know what? I need a couple $100. You know what? I know I'm a jerk. I know you don't like me. I know last year I tied your shoelaces together, and as you stumbled, I pushed just to watch you fall. And last week, I spit gum in your hair, and I know I made fun of your children. But I really need a couple $100. And I met this guy. And trust me, he's super cool. You would love him. And since I know him and he's super awesome, how about you just give me a couple $100? I'm not going to pay you back. Do favors work like this? Have any of you ever walked up to someone and asked for a favor in this way? If you have, we need to talk after church. That's not how it works. And no one would ever say yes if someone asked you a favor in that way, right? Again, if you have said yes, come and talk to me after church. We can work through these things. It's not how life works. And yet this strange principle is how God has chosen to deal with and to treat us. We can never be worthy enough, and yet we go on the merits of Christ. And what a good thing that we can actually approach God in this way, because without it, we would never be able to approach God. Never be able to come to him with our sins or our concerns or our struggles or our needs. And especially in a year like we are having right now, this is so important. Think about the fear that so many have felt with COVID-19. Think of all the struggles that people are having right now, whether being stuck at home without work or working from home or figuring out how to try and get their children through school or all of the other things that go along with this. This has been a tough year for our state and our country and for the world. But struggles like this are not new to the human race. It's not as if 2020 was the first year that disease and fear caused problems for the planet. You see, the human race has always been vulnerable to circumstances that can crop up and threaten us at any moment. And you know what? Our Lord Jesus Christ, he knows this. He is not some distant and all-powerful but disconnected and indifferent observer who looks down at from heaven. Instead, he knows what your life is like because he's lived it firsthand. He knows the pain of losing a loved one. He knows the pain of suffering illness. He knows the pain of injuries unjustly inflicted and even the pain of death. Because your Lord Jesus Christ allowed himself to live as a weak man, a vulnerable man, a man who suffered and wept and felt crushing emotion. He knows exhaustion. He knows what it is to have his strength give out and need help from others. What I'm saying is Jesus knows what it feels like to be you. He's experienced all that you have, yet without sin. And so when you pray to the Lord, he gets it. He understands fully. As the book of Hebrews says in chapter 4, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Our Lord knows our weakness. He empathizes with our weakness because he has gone through it himself. Now, if you believe that God knows nothing of your life and doesn't care, then prayer is an exercise in futility. But if you know that the Son of God put on the same flesh that you have, He lived a life just like yours and suffered everything you suffer, that he became your brother. And you know that he cares about you? Then prayer is not a futility, but a necessity. You see, the only way we can truly pray is to pray in faith, knowing that our Lord cares, knowing what he has experienced and knowing what he has done for you. So how does our Heavenly Father answer our prayers? Well, we know a lot of things about God. We know that he is love. And more than that, we know that our God loves us. He loves you, every one of you. He loves me. And so that means that God desires to give us what is best, which sounds really good, right? But there's a struggle with this too. Because guess who knows what's best for you? It's not you. It's also not me. God knows what is best. And that can be difficult to accept. Because there are lots of times we think we are praying and asking for what is best in our life, and it's really not the best thing. It's probably not even a good thing for us. And God knows. You see, he graciously gives good gifts. James tells us that every good thing comes from God. But that means he's not always going to give you what you're asking for. He's going to say no to some of your requests because they're not actually good or the best for you. Now, this makes common sense, or this makes sense, right? We understand this. We understand that God is infinite. We know that God knows everything. We know that he is gracious and that he is loving and that he loves us and desires to give the best, but we know that, and also it's so hard to accept what he gives. So why is it we grumble and whine and complain when we don't get what it is we asked for? That's because deep down our old Adam, our old sinful nature, the flesh, it's convinced that it knows better than God. Our flesh is convinced that it's wiser, that it's smarter than God, and that it should be in charge of all things. And so when we ask for something and we don't immediately receive it, we end up impatiently complaining and whining like spoiled little brats just because God has not given us what we want. You see, the reason that God doesn't give us everything we ask for is that our God actually and truly loves us. That's why when we pray, we should always pray, Lord, not my will, but your will be done, just like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, because our God's will is better than our own. His ways are higher than our ways. He sees and he understands more than we can even imagine. But often when we pray, we behave like little children and we ask for destructive things without even realizing it, and then we end up whining and pouting when we don't get them. There's also another side to this, another danger we have in prayer. Because sometimes when we realize that we ask for destructive things, we can be so fearful that we don't ask for anything at all anymore. That we don't even bring our real requests and needs and cares before God, even though Scripture tells us that we can cast our cares on Jesus, for he cares for us. Amazingly, our Heavenly Father desires to hear our prayers. Even though sometimes our prayers are stammering, even though sometimes we can't even figure out the words that we need to say, even though sometimes we ask for things that are foolish or even destructive, and even though there are times where we fail to actually ask God for those things that burden us, those things that we truly need. But our Lord wants to hear. He wants to hear the desires and groanings of our heart. For him, no petition is too small and no petition is too large, because he loves us. And when we pray, by all means, we should avoid asking for those things that are obviously foolish and obviously sinful. Even trying to avoid them, we still will ask for them at times. So when we pray, we should also come confessing our foolishness, our shortcomings, and our failings to God. After that, we should always pray, "Grant this request, but Lord, only if it be your will." It may be that when we pray, God will seem to delay in his answering. He may even say no to our requests. But whatever happens and whatever comes, let your faith stand fast towards God. Continue to worship God through your prayers. And continue to feed those prayers with the word and sacraments. A plant cannot grow and flourish without water and sun. And your faith needs word and sacrament to grow and flourish as well. Especially because in the word, we have the message of the gospel. That message that God loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son to put on flesh, to live, suffer, die, and rise again, that you might be forgiven and have eternal life with him. And when you hear that message of the gospel, that Christ died for you, that God loves you so much, when you trust in that gospel, that will be your motivation to approach and speak to and cast your entire life before a gracious God. A God that desires to hear, that empathizes, that desires to answer and to give good gifts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage in John 16, Lord, and every other passage where you teach on prayer. There's no reason that we sinners should be able to come before you. We shouldn't even be able to enter this house of worship or come near your word because you are holy and we are fallen sinners. And yet, Lord, you loved creation so much that you sent your son to die for us, that we might be forgiven, that we might have a restored relationship with you, and that we might once again be able to enter your presence through the merits of your son. God, allow us to come in prayer, freely confessing constantly our sins before you and bringing our requests to you, our struggles, our fears, our anxieties, and trusting, Lord, that you care even for us. Lord, allow us just to rest in Christ and his finished work and live our lives in light of your mercies. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. I ask you to rise once again, and we'll call on the worship team for our songs of response.